Mr. Man, real one. When and where were you born, Mr. Man?
I was born in Shildon, County Durham, on the 18th of January, 1923. My father, he was a railway policeman. My mother was just a housekeeper and wife. I went to the Barrington School in Shildon.
Before we get there, did you have brothers and sisters?
No, I was the only child. Yes, no brothers, no sisters. And as I went to Barrington School in Shildon. No, sorry, yeah. It's gone. I went to school in Shildon until I was 6 years old, and then we moved to Darlington, where my father's occupation. That would be in 1929, into a little house in Henry Street. There, father was a railway policeman still. He was serving Darlington, Bishop Auckland, Shildon, Tower Law, and all along the County Durham at that time.
Did your mother work?
No, mother never worked. Actually, my mother never had really good health. She was hit over the head once when she was a young girl coming home from school, and she was very deaf after that. And she didn't enjoy good health, but she still ended up with asthma and bronchial problems. But, like a creaking gate, she survived till she was 85 years old. My father, he carried on in the police force. I've got this wrong again. From Shildon, we moved to Bishop Auckland, and I was sickling to Bishop Auckland at the Copton Hill School until I was 11 years old. I didn't pass the exams from the grammar school. At 11 years old, we moved to Darlington. And when I had a school examination there, they said, you should have been here for your 11-year-old exams and you'd have sailed through for the grammar school. But unfortunately, that was passed in once. Within. After the North Road School, I went to the Albert Road Boys Senior School.
We'll come back to the schooling in just a moment. Shildon was a railway town, was it not?
Yes, yes, there was the railway shops there, the engines, carriage works and that. And I did actually go around there in the younger days with Dad, with only a little lad in hand, as you say. There was one occasion which has always struck us as funny. He was going to work one day, and as I said, could only have been about 5 years old, and had a little wooden hat. And this wooden hat I put on top of his helmet, and he went down the street to go to work with this woolly hat on top of his helmet. And he made a right man of himself. Which certainly was a quiet little spot.
What was the neighbourhood like that you lived in?
It was a terrace house, and it was quite close to the railway. Opposite there was a little sweet shop, Winspeed's I think they called it. And if we had a halfpenny at any time, well, he used to dodge across the road because there was no fear of traffic coming through then, or watching your left and your right. You just across the road. And we'd have an annual carnival, Railway Works Carnival, come through. And that's one thing I can always remember, that there was a carnival one year, and there was a chap done up as a Zulu warrior. I think he scared the life out of me. I remember ducking behind me dad. It went off all right.
Was it a comfortable upbringing that you had? Was money plentiful?
I wouldn't say it was plentiful, really, because getting to my father's parents now, actually his mother, he came from Borough Green in Kent. And his mother got to the stage in life where she had to go into a home. And I also remember that Dad told me later this during the years that he had to contribute 10 shillings of his wages a week to keep in this home. I don't know what his wages were then, but when we were in Darlington, I know it wasn't £3 a week as a railway constable. So we had to cut corners in, or they had to cut corners in one way, live through life. But nevertheless, my mother was a good cook, homemade stuff, simple stuff. But we enjoyed good health, really, even though things like holidays were more or less down to my mother's relatives in Yorkshire. We did go once to Kent, Borough Green, to see father's parents. At that time, I must only be about 5 or 6 years old, if that. And strange though it may seem, there was another little boy in Kent who was the son of father's sister, and apparently we got together and ended up in a row of peas and beans in the garden and had a bit of a scrap and pushed them down. They called him Jim Mann as well. His father, no, he's still alive, but we're just out of touch now.
The neighbours that you had, was it a closely knit community you lived in?
It was in Shildon, Bishop Auckland and Darlington. Maybe more so in Bishop Auckland than Shildon. Or at the same time, you say, I was only, I say, 5 or 6 years old when we left Shildon, so there. But Bishop Auckland, we lived in Station Terrace, which is Station Terrace one side of the road and Escombe Road the other side. Right. Houses, they, I think it was number 3 we lived in, but on the Station Road side, I would say there was about 12 or 14 houses in all. And the highest numbered house was for the Bishop Auckland Railway Station Master. It was a friendly street. I mean, they were in and out, and I don't ever remember, to be honest, the parents having to sort of go next door to borrow a cup of sugar or a drop of milk or a packet of, I might wonder, a packet of tea or loose tea in those days. But they used to come to our house at times, and Mum always used to surprise them. Were very friendly. And just, 3 weeks ago, one of the neighbours, who was a very great friend with my mother, she was buried in Darlington, and she just passed her 100th birthday. And her son Ronald, who I was friendly with, the boys there, later on when the warriors, he joined the Royal Air Force. But there was another family there called Arstons, and they moved down to London. We were very friendly with them.
The housing, the railway houses, were they? That you lived in?
Railway houses, yes, rented houses.
And were they tithed buildings, or did you have to pay rent? Or
you had to pay rent, yes. It was only a matter of 2 or 3 shillings a week, something like that. It wasn't much.
Were they substantial houses?
Well, you only had a cold water tap, and the hot water you either got from the kettle after it had been put onto the fire, an old iron fireplace there. But at the side of the fireplace there was a lid which you could lift up and put water in, and the heat from the fire would warm that water. You laid it out with a pan there. And at the other side was an oven, which there again was fired up from the coal fire.
So bathing or bathing would be the tin bath in front of the fire, was it?
Well, that's it. I was going to say, when you said batting there, I was going to say, what was that? The batting was not the batting, right? But it was a case of getting in front of the fire and having a rub down over there. For in the early days, my mother would more or less do it till I got big enough to do on my own. But I used to go down to the gauntlet, and we could jump in there and have a swim round. If I remember right, there was 2 picture houses in Bishop, the King's Hall, and there was more or less a theatre at the corner of Princess Street. Remember that? A lot of towns used to go there.
That was the Eden Theatre, was it?
Was it? Maybe
on the corner of the road?
The corner of Princess Street, yeah. And across the road was the coffee ice cream shop. I can't remember what they call it now.
Growing up as a very young child, I was going to ask you, what kind of activities did you get up to?
Well, as I say, we used to go swimming in the gauntlet, and then we used to go up to what we call the wreck, which you call a park now, and we'd have games in there. As regards toys, well, if we had a metal pistol, that was it for cowboys and Indians, who would do that. I can remember at Bishop as well, we used to go sometimes for a walk up to what was called Brusselton Folly. We know that, but it was quite a way. We went up, I know, one Sunday without long in coming back. I think they nearly had me missing. Anyhow, we'd just be laughing about and playing and picking berries out of the hedges or that. Or if the next daughter was in Bishop, there was two girls, Heslops was the family. They might have picked flowers or something like that, but we're just happy going, innocent young children, as it were. And Sunday school, you used to go to Sunday school. That's when I said Barrington School at first. It's Barrington in Bishop Auckland, the school there.
But did the church play a major part in the family life?
I wouldn't say it played that. With Mother being deaf, she had great difficulty in following things, and I wouldn't say that we were regular church, well, weren't regular churchgoers in those days. I suppose that's more or less all it came about with to me as being one of the family through these latter few years. I was born under C of E, Church of England, and I'm sure you would have no doubt gathered that my wife is continental, she's Italian, and a devoted Catholic, as it were, and I did change to RC about 7 years ago. Right. And we go to church every Sunday, now, health permitting.
Did you join the Boy Scouts or the Church Ladder Brigade?
No, I was never in the Boy Scouts there. I missed a lot in that way. I suppose it never really appealed to me. There were times later in life when I wish I had been in the Boy Scouts to learn and pick up certain things. But coming from Bishop to Darlington, I went to Albert Road School, and with my birthday being in January, they actually left the school as we broke up for Christmas holidays in 1936, because I was still 13 when I left school, and with my birthday being in January, I said, well, no point in coming back to school, it's a odd couple of weeks. So I finished 13 years old.
What was school life like, as you remember it?
Well, at children, I was too young to remember it. Bishop Auckland. The Copton Hill School it was, I'm not going to remember that because I was only 11 years old when I left there. But there was the uncomfortable desks, as you might say, with the lift up lids and that. If you were talking and that, you got something. I remember once there was a teacher called Daglish. And I don't know whether I'd been talking or something like that. Anyhow, he come up and give me such a whop across my head with his hand. So I went home and told my dad like it. And of course, he nearly went berserk because it was something similar to that that had made him mother deaf. Right. Anyhow, I went up to the school. I remember Dad telling me later in years, and he asked to see this teacher, but he must have been a bit fearsome, I suppose. He was a big chap. And the headmaster wouldn't let him see the teacher, frankly. If he had been, so it would have happened. But there was a playground. It was on a slope, was this playground. And you used to, the children would go sort of stiff legs and running down this slope. I remember once going down it and then getting towards the bottom. I couldn't bend my legs and I thought I was going to crash into the water at the bottom. The teachers were a lot stricter than what they are now, of course. And they had more liberty as regards punishments and that. Darlington, jumping from there, was Albert Road School and back. There was a teacher there, Soakin, they call him. He's gone now, of course. And like all others, I wasn't the perfect scholar by any means. And he used to get you to go for the stick cane. And we used to go, round the other class from the door. The teacher come in. Oh, we got the cane, sir. No, the cane, sir. No. Not time, but used to get it. They used to cross the yard to go, well, it's back to your own class, with shove the cane up the drain pipe and then get back to school himself. Sorry, couldn't find it, sir. But again, but this circle, you used to get the cane off him and you would hold your hand out, and normally the cane they used to put about the middle of your hand, but with this circle they used to put it there and it used to come down on the tips of your fingers. By God, it's been that good for me. Especially if you've got it on both hands as well. If it's just one hand, one you will get in, you put your non-writing hand out. And that was it.
Was there any sport attached to school life?
Yes. There again, we stood at Albert Road School. There were annual sports, weren't that. And I always used to partake in them, running. I was keen on sports and exercise there. Running, jumping, swimming, used to dart and bath swimming competitions, used to go there. There's somewhere I have the odd card as that, where I would win a race. I wasn't any Johnny Weisworthers, who was one of the men that had the stars and in the films. I wasn't a swimmer or anything like him. But I was a good average athletic, I would say, in those days, if you can call them athletics. But we used to leave school. I had a pal who lived in Longfield Road. After the war, he went to Rhodesia, and I've never seen him since. But he used to go up to his house, and he had chest expanders, barbells, the punch ball, and that. And we used to go through these on a night. I mean, only be, 12, 13, up to 14 year old nearly. And from there, after that, we would run from Longfield Road up the old Day One Road to Aycliffe, from Aycliffe run through to Hindon, and from Hindon West Norton Road back to Darlington. And if we had a penny a piece in the pocket, we'd go for a penny for the chips, and that was the evening's entertainment.
What did you think of the education that you got at the school?
I think it was quite good. We used to get homework to do. I know that was something massive for me, because writing, I wasn't a good writer, not even today. I wasn't a good writer. And composition and that, I just couldn't put it up. My main subjects were like mental arithmetic and arithmetic. I was a bit dull on geography and history. Science I used to like. And another thing was metalwork. Woodwork, I was hopeless at that. I just couldn't sort of try and make a twisted candlestick or remember. Well, if you'd seen the state that, he nearly threw it at me. Charlie Lockhart, he was a woodwork teacher. And his favourite word was, form a semicircle round me. And then he would go on explaining how to use the chiller's chisel and this, that and the other. And if you weren't paying attention, he just used to pick up a little piece of wood and fling it at you.
were the large classes that you were in?
I would say around about the 30 to 40 class at that time, from what I can remember. Yeah.
Did any teacher have a lasting impression on you from the point of view of your future?
Well, with all due respect, it was Mr. Paxson, who was the headmaster at Albert Road. And maybe we shouldn't say it, but he had a cast in one eye. And he would come into a class, and if someone wasn't paying attention, that he had to point to somebody or get you to say something. And he would put his hand out and he would point to one boy, but unfortunately, with a cast in his eye, was looking at another boy. Of course, he went and he got two boys standing up, and then he would say, "Sit down, you," and they wouldn't know which one to sit down. But they were strict in those days. That's what I want to do there. As regards a teacher, I remember someone named Tubby Balsfield was one, and he was a portly gentleman, but he used to take football quite often. You know, I don't know how he did it, but anyhow, he got through it. Nobby Clark was another teacher. He would have his class and he wore glasses. And as he was writing on the blackboard, all of a sudden he would just swing round and, "You, Kane, talking." And I thought, well, how's that? He had his back to him. Yeah. But what it was, with having glasses, he would put them to the blackboard and he had a mirror more, and that's with which he could see behind and sort you out. That was Nobby Clark, but he was a bit of a bee.
You said you left school when you were 13.
I'm actually 30, yeah, very nearly 14, but yeah.
Did you go straight into work?
Yes. I went down to the, what do they call the employment exchange, and there was a vacancy for an office boy in a shop in Bondi called Motor Replacements. My dad took me down, I didn't go on my own. We had this interview, and I remember the owner, who was a George Rutherford, and they said, "Ask me various questions and that." I said, "No," and then give me two or three what I classed as simple additions to do, the multiplications. And then he said, "Would I write that label out?" And gave me the name and address to write out. But you also remember, I wrote it, but my writing was in pretty big writing as well. Anyhow, it passed off. So he says, "Yes," he says, we'll start you off, Sam. He said, "What you can do, Saturday morning you can come in and just more or less look round and start on the Monday." So Saturday morning I went in, and at the end of the day he gave me half a crown, I remember. That was what, 12.5p. And they started on the Monday, and the wages then was 7.6p. That's 37.5p. So I was with him.
How many hours was that?
Oh, it used to be from 8:30 in the morning. You never got a morning cup of tea or anything, 10 o'clock, so that was unheard of, or 3 o'clock. Or 8:30. And we're supposed to shut at 6 o'clock at night. I mean, I've seen nights have been there at 7:30 and even 8 o'clock. But I didn't get any overtime. That was all part of the job.
And that would be Monday to Friday, was it?
No. Sorry, Monday to Friday, yes.
Then Saturday?
On Saturday, 8:30 to 1 o'clock. That's if you got away at 1 o'clock.
What?
You used to get a week's holiday per annum. And
that was paid holiday, was it?
Yes, it used to pay for the holiday. But
was it at any particular time of the year, or did you have a bit of flexibility?
Well, it was more or less when I got down to, in those days, you didn't sort of say, "Oh, I've booked up for holidays in such a week and that." But later in like after the war, I went back to the same firm, but he used to say then, maybe about December, January time, February. "Oh, I think you booked me for a holiday in June. Would it be all right?" It was only a week holiday. Still at that time, I remember, we were going to Butlin's Camp. And January, February time. I said, "Think of that. We haven't time to think about holiday. Holidays is far enough away yet. No, you can't book yet." So it was left at time. It's a mess. I remember saying once, when we were booked for the Butlins holiday, which was all agreed, and I said, "Well, could I have the Saturday morning off?" Which would enable me to travel to Butlins, finally. But no, he wouldn't give me the Saturday morning off. So it was a case of when he got away at 1 o'clock or soon after that as you could, and then I had to pack up and go for holidays. Yeah, so he wouldn't give me the Saturday morning off. No.
What were your particular duties as an office boy?
Well, it was advertised through this employer as an office boy. But it turned out to be more or less of a sweep this up, sweep that up, and clean the wind, wash the windows at the front. And it was a motor trade business, and some customers would ring up. And if we didn't have a part, it was maybe obtainable from one of the garages in the town, who was the agent for a particular type of vehicle, car or lorry and that. And at times he used to say, oh, nip away down, say Sherwood's for instance, who was still in business in Darlington, they used to come very well. Or nip it down there, get a valve cover gasket for a box or a Bedford or something like that. So I had an old bike which my dad had bought me the same room for £5, that was my transport. And he used to go down to Sherwood and get this gasket. And I'd a kid, it was only made of a cork. Gasket, and if you bent it too high, of course, it snapped, and that was it, finished. No occasion, I snapped one coming back, so I was in trouble for that. I think the price of them at that time was about sixpence or ninepence for the gasket. But that's how it sort of started, and then eventually got onto the counter, where this advert for the office came, I don't know. I got onto the counter, and then I used to go to the night school, Technical College of Darlington, and study bookkeeping. Because the funny thing was, getting back to Bishop Auckland, my mother knew a lady in Old Bondwood at Bishop Auckland, and she was supposed to do a bit of a clairvoyant or something. And she said, oh, this was Bishop, before we'd even go to Darlington, she said, oh, when the lights left us, she said, there'll be an office job waiting for him. I remember that. But anyhow, it didn't turn out that way to start with. I went to the night school and learned bookkeeping, double entry and debits and credits and this, that and the other. And it came that the bookkeeper at this motor place where I worked left, which more or less left him in the hole, which was the owner, as no bookkeeper. So then I was given the opportunity, well, can you do it, Jim? So I was going to try my best. Anyhow, I was given this, and it was a case of handwriting up the journals and the purchases and sorting the purchase invoices out and preparing for payment, that, which was an office job. And after a few months of that, it was decided that I was more valuable downstairs than doing the office work. The office work was a far easier job, of course. It didn't give me any pay. That time before the war, the final wages for up to the end of 1941 was 18 shilling a week. So I left and went into the forces. I remember telling him, I said, I'm going for a medical examination on Monday. No, it was on the Friday, medical examination on the Friday. I said, I'm going to join the forces. He said, what are you doing that for? I said, you want more money, or what's the matter? Don't you? Well, I said, it's just that my pal and they were going to join up and I've got to go for medical then. And I said, I think you're bloody silly, because that was it. So we had the medical on the Friday.
Before we come to that...
I'm jumping. Right.
Did you hand your wage over to your mother? Your parents?
Yes, well, at the start of it, when I said it was 7 and 6 a week, if I remember right, he used to give my mother 5 shillings and I had 2 shillings pocket money. And then when it got to be, to the later stages, 18 shilling a week, I think then I was handing to my mother about 10 or 12 shillings and I had the rest. Right. But with the early stages, we used to go to the cinema, and there was a Plaza Cinema in Darlington, and there was a bit further down from the plaza were the news agents with a cigarette machine outside. We put a penny in there and get 2 woodbine and 2 matches for the penny. So I'd get that and then go to the plaza, and I think it was tuppence to go in there. And that was our night out.